Coming up in this episode of the KickCast, a pen you roll to measure things, taking the moon's milk to the next level, and the yo-yo gets nucleo. So sit back and relax. It's time for the KickCast. All right, guys, it is time for another episode of the KickCast, the podcast where we go out and find projects and let you know if you should backtrack or sack them. I'm KT Data, one half of the show, and joining me is a man who, since we last saw him, managed to close and move into a new house, make a quick road trip to another state, send out yet another wave of content creators, hopefully to, you know, better the world along with that, and go cheer on one of his little ones doing something that he really doesn't understand, but he's fully there supporting on Thrill's knees, the one and only Drew Tyler. How you doing today, my friend? You are a busy man.
Good.
You do all that, and I just sat here scratching my butt the whole time in the same amount of time.
I even somehow squeezed in. I launched two of my three classes for the summer. I had to build out in a day and just quickly be like, "Oh, I've never done this before, but here's what we're doing for public speaking online."
No biggie. Oh, didn't you like fly out to do a NASDAQ thing too while you're at it too?
Yep. I did a couple of days in NASDAQ in San Francisco, and then I just dispatched. I've got two guys there that are recent grads that are doing the same thing again in Palm Springs. Like, I'm all over.
Oh, man, you just make the rest of us look bad.
maybe on the fun side of things. I need to do, like, laundry and mopping floors.
So you have people to do that now? You're bettering the world. She's like, you don't need to worry about these kind of these small things. You're bettering the world out there.
You know, I've got a dresser that's half built that I better finish tonight or else my clothes are going to be on the floor for another day.
What you should do is build the dresser while doing the show just to show how multifaceted you are right now. Just like, oh, and then I'll be like, hey, you just dropped the Allen wrench.
That's what it would take. It would take all of our eyes.
That just shows you what kind of furniture I put together when I mention Allen wrenches. But if this is your first time coming to watch the show, first of all, welcome. And for everybody else watching, we missed an episode because life gets in the way sometimes. And Drew was just being too amazing. Before we jump into the actual projects that we have tonight, and we got some good projects tonight. I mean, super excited. We're going to have a little mini news section. And this entire news section is essentially tips for project creators on what they should do or stuff that Drew and I have been saying for the past, 3 or 4 years now on the show.
Yep.
So, but it's
if
all
you haven't been listening. Yeah, this is all of it in one swoop.
Yeah, there is finally data out there that validates what we've been saying this whole time. So, we'll jump into the first one. This one's on entrepreneur.com, and I still love entrepreneur.com. I highly suggest you guys go check their elevator pitch show because that is just hilarious, and I enjoyed every piece of it. So, they came out with an article that says the data reveals that these three fundamentals for crowdfunding success. So the top three things that are important to make sure you do so your crowdfunding project is successful. So for the first one, it says identify true believers and social media influencers. For Kickstarters, the first bite are true believers, typically friends, families, and associates with faith in you, and they mention, and cash for you, because that is also important. A core group of true believers, you can get your Kickstarter campaign off to a quick start. Other crowdfunders are more likely to pitch in after they see people investing in your project. So this is always the one that I tell people, do you have a community behind this? Do you have people who are ready to say, hey, I just launched, they're ready to hit that greenback button? Because it is
big engine. You got to get the engine revving. You got to be ready to go.
Yeah. And it's super important because like I said, it is Kickstarter's to a point now where people are a little skeptical if the project's launched and there's no money at all. You know, it's kind of one of those things they use as a check in terms of vetting everything. And number two, this one is near and dear to my heart and Drew's heart all the time. Video is Kickstarter's content king. Researchers at the University of Buffalo School of Management found that videos, pictures, and other types of media greatly increase the results generated by crowdfunding campaigns. So that video is important.
We've been saying that forever.
Yeah, and I will tell
not
you.
Just because we make video, right? It's true.
And I'll tell you, one of the things I'd look at for projects, if I include them in the show, is number one, is there a video or is there not? I'm kind of backtracking a little bit because one of our projects doesn't have a video, but 95% of the 95% of the time when I look at a project and I don't see a video, it almost immediately goes onto my skip list. Unless it is like super good, it almost goes on the skip list. So that reduces 2/3 of its chances getting on. I mean, because you pick one of the projects, the community picks one of the projects, but I vet the projects before I send it to them, and then I pick one. So
you got some fingers in the pie there. But I think really it takes a certain kind of project to be able to get along without a video. Maybe there's something in the tech space that would have not have a need for an actual video. You know, maybe there's some other things that tell the story better. So that's why, the only reason I can think of is if for some reason there was a way to tell the story better with visuals that were not video. But most things, that's how we do it.
Yeah, like the two projects that always kills me when I see it is if you're doing a movie or you're doing some kind of music project and you don't have a video, I'm like, I'm not just going to give you money if I don't have a sample of what you're trying to do. You know, just give me something. What's great is I like this article. It actually breaks down. So if you're not video connoisseurs like Drew and I are, they actually give you this formula that they broke out. So there's an intro that's 15 seconds or less. You introduce yourself, best to appear in person, and your product. The next part is the problem, want, or need, and that's going to last about 15 to 30 seconds. What pain does your product solve? What want or need does it fill? Why do other would-be solutions fall short? So I think this is kind of like the hook, right? Usually when you see those as seen on TVs, that's the black and white portion of the as seen on TV commercial. And then the next part is solution, which is 30 seconds long. How does your product address the previously mentioned problem, want, or need? Be forward, explain what makes your solution different from others. So that's the color portion of those ads as seen on TV commercials. And then the next part is about 20 seconds. The technology, demonstrate the credibility of your product. Explaining some of the technological aspects of your product and how it works will help. Consider focusing either on the tech itself or the high quality materials it's built from. And then the next 15 is the team. Now's a good time to introduce your team. This will help build trust, which is going to be very important. And then why you need the funding. Why do you need funding? What specifically will you do with it? What will people get in return? And then last but not least, and I think this is the most important thing, and I try to do this in all our shows, is the call to action. Make a final pitch to get people to fund you. Reiterate the benefits of funding. That's a pretty good blueprint for a crowdfunding video, right, Drew?
Yeah. That hits all the points. And if you can do it succinctly, there have actually been several that I'll scan through and I'll be like, I don't have 5 minutes.
Yeah, if I've seen 30-minute videos, I don't watch those at all. I'm like, next. Well,
you can hit those points in 2 to 3 minutes max. Like, you can kind of just give it a scope. And I think people kind of want to shove it all in there sometimes. But really, the format of that Kickstarter page allows you to kind of say, here's the elevator pitch here. And if you like that, down below there's a whole lot of, you know, more meat if you want to go deeper. But that's we talked about that.
Yeah, yeah. And I see that call to action is the one a lot of people miss a lot of the times. Like, one of the last things you should do is like, hey, click on that green pledge button right now, or check out our pledges and pick one that's going to fit for you. Last reminder of going to do that, because sometimes people have very bad short-term memories, like I do. And then, so the last one is, this one's an interesting one that I don't think a lot of people think of, but they kind of sort of intuitively feel. 3, approach crowdfunding as an incentive-based marketing effort. And then it says, ultimately, your crowdfunding efforts boil down to fundamentals of marketing, but with a twist around incentives. So that's actually a pretty interesting way to think about what crowdfunding projects are. It is a advanced marketing project, and that's why you see a lot of these big companies hire these marketing companies to do it, because they do it so well and they know what people are looking for, right? That's a kind of a different way of how normally you hear Kickstarters presented, right? Where it's my dream, I'm trying to get this through, but in reality it is kind of an extension of that marketing arm to get your dream to happen and stuff, but it is, you know, marketing ultimately, right?
like get people to love what you do and love why you're doing it and support you financially before it's done. That's exactly it.
Yeah. See, you can tell that I have zero marketing skills because I still have yet to find a way for people to support this show financially. But
I'm teaching class in fall that's all about how to make your creations monetizable. Maybe we should just use this show as like somebody that comes in to class without content. I'll be like, listen, I've got a show for you. You work at monetizing our show. I'll give you a grade. I'm doing a whole class.
I'm in on this. Depending on how much,
how long have we been doing this?
It's got to be like, depending on how much taco money you can get me and my co-host, this is what your grade is going to be based on.
That's exactly it. Beautiful. Well, those are really helpful tips. Like these are the things that we've talked about for years. This is a very simple. Find that engine and get it revving beforehand. Get a video ready to go, and then think of it as a marketing effort.
Yeah. So that was one article. Now we're going on to a Forbes article, and you know it's fancy, right? When it's on Forbes.
Yeah.
This was actually written by a project creator, and he was like, five things that I wish I knew before I started a crowdfunding project, and. The reason why this one resonated with me a lot was because of this number one. So the first thing he mentions, ego check. Unless you get lucky and or have either a massive email list to start, a huge budget, or an extremely high product price, don't expect to blow your goal out of the water. It doesn't mean, yeah. Like, how many times have you talked to people, Drew, where they're like, oh yeah, I have this amazing idea. It's going to go to the moon.
Yep. Yep. And my favorite is that they always say something like, well, you know, whatever this thing is, wallets always fund or watches always fund, you know, and they just have this like kind of like idea that, well, that's what's hitting. Everybody's doing it. So I'll just put my idea in there. Not quite the way it works.
Yeah. And I like how this kind of goes back to a couple of our older episodes that we were talking about too. So he kind of says, let's do a little experiment. Our product price was $13 and our average perk price was $30. To raise $100,000, somehow the number I attached to success, and taking the average perk price purchase, we would have had needed 3,333 backers. That is a lot of backers.
And a lot.
Even with 1,000 backers, which is fantastic, we would have only raised over $30,000. Do the math on your product and construct realistic best and worst case scenarios. It'll help set proper expectations. So what's funny is because usually I'll check on some of the old projects that we mentioned. So you remember that projector Thule thing that we mentioned last episode?
Yeah.
They actually went past their funding goal, but they ended up canceling the project because they realized that they couldn't make it financially viable. Like, even though they set their goal, they went back and redid the math and like, oh crap, this is not enough for us to make it feasibly to manufacture this because it's still not enough money to do that. So that's definitely one thing you want to make sure you do. The second one is the type of product matters a lot. People may not be willing to wait months before receiving your product. After doing some research and talking to our target customers, we realized people loved our product and wanted to buy it, but some didn't want to wait months before getting theirs or their friend or their friend's babies. We get it. Babies change super. I can't remember what they made about it as a kid's product. So yeah, you want to make an idea for it. Like, I think looking back at some of my projects, like one I haven't gotten yet is that foldable measuring spoon.
Yeah.
It's been like 2 years. It shouldn't take this long to make a foldable measuring spoon, right? Number three, this is another one we hark on. Spend a lot of time on your page design and story. Yeah. Keyword being story, right?
Yeah. Tell us why we need it and sell us on it for sure.
Yeah. So they're like, this is another obvious one, but your crowdfunding page becomes your main website during the campaign. It is the primary way someone interested in your product is going to learn about it, the company, and you, which is, I think, is important because, like, how many times have you seen, like, different pages? Like, music people do this a lot, is they'll put, like, a paragraph there, no music and stuff, and they'll link you, and you have to click through the link, then search their website just to find the sample of their music.
Yeah. Like, just give me the good. Yeah. Your page.
And then so, like, his timing too. We started filming the videos and taking product shots with our only prototype 2 months before launching the campaign. It takes time to craft the story, design the page, get feedback, and make edits. budget about 3 months for this process. It is time intensive, but will yield a clean, cohesive story that will resonate with your target customers, and you'll be able to leverage all this hard work when your campaign ends and you're starting to sell for real. So, like, how many times have you looked at a page and like, this is an afterthought they just slapped together at the last minute, right?
Too often, and that's probably like the mentality of, oh, all we have to do is like build it and they will come.
Yeah.
Because then they just whip it out there and it's like, give it a couple images and some writing. But that never lands. In fact, it kind of sets this tone of whatever the project is. We're going to do the same thing. We'll swing it together at the very last minute, or we won't put too much effort into it. So your page really says a lot about how meticulous you are with your project, whether that's a tech project or a film project or whatever it is. Your page says a lot about your work ethic almost.
Yeah, and I like how he put this last part as it's in it, the that sure you're going to be done with that crowdfunding page. You can still use that as your marketing materials further on. So think of it that way, that this is only a piece of your marketing effort, but you're going to be using it for long term. So you want that full story. You want something that you can use after to put on your regular website, and you don't have to start from scratch after the crowdfunding project, right?
Right.
That saves a lot of time. Number four, this kind of actually goes back to number one on our last article. You're going to need every last bit of your social capital. I hate asking people for stuff, but to be successful, again, unless you have a massive budget or an existing customer email list, you need to reach deep into your personal networks and get everyone excited to help you reach your funding goal. We sent an email to 300 close friends and a family a month before the campaign to explain why we were launching on Indiegogo, then followed up with them a week before we launched, as well on launch morning. I also sent personal texts to everyone I felt comfortable texting with the Indiegogo link, and to top it off, we threw a launch event on launch night to encourage people to pre-order and share share with their networks on social media. It isn't enough that your core network contributes money. You need them to share with their friends, families, so you capitalize the full network of events, effects. You need to hit around 30 to 40% of your funding goal in the first 36 to 48 hours for the platform algorithms to view your campaigns favorably. So, like, call in every single favor you have, right?
And it really, you have to, because we talk about getting that engine revving, and you can run for 3 months with like a launch rock page or something where you're collecting an email and making an email list. But even then, you still have to reach out and kind of, like it says, social capital. You've got to really request people and tell them what you're doing ahead of time. And it's not easy enough to just send a message on Facebook to mass blast everybody in your friend group and be, hey, can I get $10 for this project? It's what these guys did. It's email to your closest friends a month before and a week before. Can I count on you? Will you be there? You do. And I hate this part. I hate asking people for anything. And so you've got to get out of that comfort zone. And I like the way you phrase that. You've got to use every last bit of social capital. You need it all.
Yeah. If I could go back and relaunch KickCast, I totally would have done this, even though there wasn't any like monetary gain. I would have been like, oh, this is going to be this amazing show where we're going to find cool crowdfunding projects and stuff and get as many people I know ready to hit that subscribe button the moment the podcast feed came out. Now I'm a sucker and have to do it the long grindy way. Right. and then number five, you can do what a marketing agency does. It's really not that complicated if you do your homework and put it in the work, or you just hire Drew. Maybe you didn't put that last part in, but I did. We made the mistake of paying an agency and they did absolutely nothing. Drew would not do absolutely nothing. You do the opposite.
Do it all.
In the end, they helped bring in 2.7 of total funds raised. The rest was driven thanks to my team and I owned throughout the duration of the campaign, emailing, Instagram, all that stuff. So if you are going to hire somebody to do your marketing, make sure they're like proactive and not reactive.
I've actually seen some of the marketing teams where what they'll do is they'll coach you through raising all the money through your own networks anyway. So all they do is tell you exactly what these guys did. Use your emails, your Instagrams, your mommy Facebook groups that you already connected in. Like, that's all they'll do. They'll tell you, you're the star. We got
to. Yeah, it's on you. It's on you to do all of it. Yeah. So he gives you some of the things that you want to do. run pre-launch Facebook ads to test your creative messaging. The ad should drive to a landing page to collect email addresses and build your pre-launch email list. So as you can see, like that entrepreneur article where it says approach it like a marketing thing, it's all coming together, right? So those ads on Facebook don't have to be, it doesn't have to link to your project. Link to that email page so you can build it that way. And it also helps test messages. So you could do two different types of ads, right, Drew? So this is how A-B testing, right? Two different types of ads. You target the same, you target the same group of people, right? And then you see which one of those two ads responds better. That's going to give you an idea what's resonating with people, which then you can push into your project page design and get a better idea on what kind of message you want to put on that page, right? The next one is reach out to press, journalists, and influencers in your space and send them free samples of your product. We didn't have samples to give out due to manufacturing constraints, which hurt us big time. If they can't feel it and use it, they probably won't write about it. Sometimes asking for an interview or doing a video chat with your product is enough. And even if they don't cover your crowdfunding campaign, stay in touch with these contacts and make sure you get them a few samples once your first production run is complete. This is not me asking for big stuff, for begging for free stuff, but this is super important because look at it in terms of the press and journalism and an influencer's point of view. They see a lot of stuff, like a lot of stuff where sometimes they just straight up don't remember your project or they don't know when you're launching because they can't follow it with a fine tooth comb. Many a time I have met people where I've talked to them before and I was like, oh, didn't you email me before the project launched? And they're like, no, we just put you on our newsletter. You know, sometimes I look at the newsletters, but I get a lot of email. Like, you don't want to know how many unread emails I have in my email box. Like, it's to a point where my phone just lists the max amount of emails it can show up. And I have more than that. But I'm far more responsive, and Drew, you probably like this too, far more responsive if the email is addressed specifically to you versus something that looks like it was mailed out in mass, right?
Yep, for sure, for sure.
So that's definitely one thing you want to do. And Mingledew, thanks for the tier one sub. I appreciate it. And then the next part is send well-written and compelling press releases through PR Newswire at launch. So you might know this a little better than I do, but I'm not as familiar with PR Newswire, but they're kind of like a major source for press releases where people go, right? To get information for stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of people. That's what their job is, to find stories to cover. So they just subscribe, you know, most news outlets are just subscribed so they can sort through them and be like, this is newsworthy or this fits our audience for sure.
Yep, and we just barely mentioned this. Follow up with journalists and influencers and let them know the campaign is live. Like I said, 90% of the time I don't talk about a project is because I 100% forgot about it or didn't know it went live or found out the day after your project ended. And then launch and optimize Facebook ads. You have a decent idea what performing well from your pre-launch campaign. Continue to improve your creative marketing and messaging and monitor spend. There's tons of resources out there to figure out how to do this, but yeah, it's marketing. Definitely marketing that does that, right?
Yep.
So those are kind of some tips for project creators. And like I said, if you've listened to this show for a while, you've heard us harp on this. And, you know, it is definitely not a world where you can just throw something up and people will show up. I tell people, you start a Kickstarter, you just started another full-time job. So
Yeah. And they don't realize that, but that's exactly what it is. You've got 30 days or 45 days of just nonstop hustle.
Yeah. All right. So now, before we go into our main three projects, we have a quick kick shout. And this project is definitely, I am definitely one of those early influencers or enjoyers. So this is a custom playing card set made by podcaster Scott Johnson, fellow Utah Drew. He does the Instance, the Morning Stream, the Boop Show, and is a contributor to Tom Merritt's Daily Tech News Show on Wednesdays. But he's a cartoonist by trade. And what he is doing is making a set of custom playing cards where he has done the art for everything. The card backs he did, the actual art for all the pieces, and what do you call the spades and stuff, the suits. He hand drew all the different suits too. So
cool.
That make it to make it work. And what's nice is it's already funded, but the higher you go, the more different kinds of custom decks that are going to be making. So here's his basic. They have his basic one that he's been putting together. But the stretch goals, he has poker chips that you can get now, a zombie deck, bonus jokers. If you listen to any of the Frog Pants shows, he's going to draw all the hosts as all the royal suits in one deck. His daughter, who has an amazing art style and also did the art for the Noms podcast, she's getting her own deck, which is so cool. Sorry, Scott. I like Carter's art a little bit more than yours. and then he has a Go Fish deck. This is hilarious that for some reason, a lot of his doodles and stuff, he just ends up drawing fish. So he's going to make a whole deck of fish on it, and he calls it the Go Fish. And you better believe that I am going to end up making a. I'm going to play a game of Go Fish with that Go Fish deck just because it's the Go Fish deck. So if you guys are looking for that, check out Custom Playing Cards by Scott Johnson on Kickstarter. You will not be disappointed. I love the guy's art. It's hanging and placed everywhere around my house because there's so much of it, which is awesome. All right, now it is time for our projects of the night. And this first one, this actually might be handy for you, Drew, because you've just moved, right?
And I did indeed.
Are you getting new furniture and all that kind of stuff too?
In fact, we got new couches, and I just bought a TV stand and a dresser, and
So you're probably measuring a lot of stuff to make sure it fits, right? Even that basement right there, you'll be measuring stuff to make sure everything fits right. So our first project is called the Neo Pen X, and it is a rolling ruler and pen combo. So I think this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. So on one side, it has a rolling ruler, so it's a disc, right? And it has your normal graduation marks. They come in two sizes. So one of the discs is 2 inches and the other disc is 4 inches. And what happens is once it makes a full revolution, it clicks. So you know that you've gone 2 inches. So what you can do is to measure something, so it doesn't have to be straight. It could be like a box or something, is you just roll it along the box and then you count the clicks. So if it's 3 clicks, you just do 3 times, and you're using the 2-inch one, you do 3 times 2, bam, that is a six inch piece of box that you need for that. I think the, you know, the surveyor guys that you see out on the roads that have the little rolly wheel things?
Yeah.
I think that uses the same principle in terms of that, and it has a counter that you can do it. So if you use the 4-inch one and you hear it click twice, it's going to be 8 inches, right, when you're done. And then it has little graduations on the side of the disc too, so if you're like 2 3/4 of an inch, you can add that to it too. So that's on one side, you use that to measure, and then on the other side there's a pen that you can use, your standard kind of pen inserts. But what you do is you take the disc off and then you put it on the other side, so while you're actually drawing and stuff, it will measure it, and then you can kind of do like, okay, 2 inches is really going to equal 2 feet in real life, and draw blueprints and stuff out of that. And like, I love it. It's made, they're making it out of aluminum, copper, and steel, I believe. So that way it doesn't rust. And I really like this idea. And the greatest part too, because I'm kind of a pen snob I'm a pen snob in terms of like smooth inks.
Admit it.
I love using the Pilot G2 inserts. So what is great about this is all the ink cartridges that you can use. There are various types of Pilot ink cartridges, so it's not just one brand. There's a whole bunch of brands on it. So if you're a pen snob like I am, you're probably one of these refills is probably going to fit your fancy right there, because you can see they're ranging from 2.5 millimeters to almost 0.4 or even half a millimeter in terms of thickness. And you can use gel pens, or you can use, like I'm telling you, those G2 pens are awesome. They're my favorite. But you can even do like the friction erasable gel pens. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
That you can erase them when it's written on special pieces of paper. So I totally dig it. But Drew, does this seem like something you would use?
Yeah, no, I love it. I think that it's a really cool idea, and I love that there are applications for it, whether it's just measuring for crafts or measuring for building or blueprinting. Like, this is a really versatile kind of unique answer to a problem. I think it's
I was so confused when I first saw it. I'm like, how does the rolling wheel thingy work. And then once I started reading and seeing how it works, I'm like, oh, that makes total sense. They essentially took a ruler and made it into a circle and put a clicking mechanism so you can hear it. And like, yeah, this one is definitely a back for me. It is a, let's see, what is it? About $20. I think it's worth it for about $20. Because like I said, it's made out of metal. It's not going to, like, their whole idea was to make it look good and not, and make sure it doesn't break down like some cheap pens that you've seen out there. So I totally think it's worth that. And just being able to use my own ink cartridges, just, that's such one of the nerdiest things that you can geek out on, but I am totally 100% all in on that just because I like using it. So this one's back for me. Is this a back track or sack for you?
This is a back for me as well. I feel like there's they're just the right price point. They solved a unique problem, and they're going about it the right way. Fantastically built out project, well thought out. So definitely a back for me.
Yeah. All right. So on to our next project, which they probably could use this for storyboarding and stuff. So I'm not good at drawing and storyboards, so all my storyboards are like, you know, stick figures. But you've probably seen some like well done storyboards that. You're like, why do I need to film this, right?
Yeah, I have professional storyboarders in some of my classes. And I'm like, just don't show us up. Let's just let everybody do their own style. All yeah, right. This is the project that I've chosen. The second project is we do these on occasion, but this one is an art or a film project. It's a stop motion animated short film called The Moon's Milk. So it's totally handmade stop motion about a time when the moon was close enough to reach by ladder. So it's got that fun feel for a stop motion clay. The thing that I like about this, so the trailer has been done. The story is only about 13 minutes, so it's kind of a shorter film.
That's long really, for stop motion, though.
Right? For stop motion, it's long. In fact, the guy took 4 years to kind of put it together. But what I love about this project is you know, it's kind of a cool story, kind of fun that they're exploring this idea of, you know, the last harvest of moon milk. But what I love is that this project, the passion project that was done, a guy that was working, I'm trying to remember what city it was in, list what city he's in, but while he's working in California, he's doing this on the nights and weekends. This is a passion project for 4 years. He turned this whole basement into a little mini work studio where he's able to do, a couple seconds of this film every night or every weekend. So I don't know how often, but he built and done this whole thing kind of as a passion project, and it's pretty well done. So when he's put this together, it took him 4 years to animate in Oakland. That's where it was, in Oakland. He's now looking for the money to get a post-production team of professionals to finish it up and be as good as it can be. That's what I love, because sometimes we'll see this where somebody will give us like 2 seconds and be like, I can animate, please help me, do a big giant project.
Mm-hmm.
This guy put the blood, sweat, and tears in and said, I've done 4 years of animating, and I've got a story that I love, and here's the trailer for it, and this is what it looks like right now, or at least, a section of it. With this project, if we can raise the $25,000 that I want, I can hire this person, that person, and he tells us who they are and kind of introduces them in the project, but you just kind of get this feel like, yeah, this deserves to have the touch of a professional I'm trying to remember what they call it, like when they, compositor, when they kind of add things, musicians mm-hmm. to the score. And then there's some last little work that you do besides color grading. They just, conform everything and make it work. So really well-defined story that he says, this is what I did. This is what it looks like. Here's some screenshots of my stuff. Here's what I want the whole thing to look like after it's been color graded and mastered. So I think this is pretty dang cool. The other thing I love is that he's got a unique set of tiers. You can get a digital download for the film for $10, which is a no-brainer. That's easy. But if you jump up a couple of bits to, like, I think you go $100, you actually get a piece of the set.
Ooh, like that'd be cool. Right?
Some of the moon, or you get a secret or Wrangler. I think you get a milk collection at $150. They'll give you one of the milk buckets. Set up on a commemorative pedestal that was used in the film. So I guess what I love about this one most of all is that they took this passion project, built it, so it's done, and then brought it to the crowd, to the, you know, crowdfunding, to say, let's make it the best it can be. So, you know, the risk, I can't say the risk is gone, but there's a lot.
It's definitely lowered, right?
Right, way lower. It's so much easier to say, you know, I know this is going to still take a long time, but I can see that you have executed on this amazingly. Let's get the right team to, you know, bring it across the finish line. So yeah. That's the moon milk. I'm totally stoked about this. It's a back for me.
Yeah, I definitely love it, because some of those post-production things people don't think about, like color grading, is it's crazy, right? Because the way you normally film something is you shoot in what people call a flat color profile, right? It's designed mm-hmm. to capture as many of the details that in the picture, right? So the camera can get as much of that data as possible. So when you look at it, everything kind of looks a little bit washed out, and you're seeing pieces, and you're like, that kind of looks funny, right? But when you color grade it, you want that extra piece of information, because then you're like, okay, now I want everything that's like black to be like super black, and it comes out and you can see the contrasty kind of difference, right? So if you like look at the page where it shows you the before and after on the page, the before, it looks a little bright, you know, sort of doesn't look like it's nighttime, right? And then you see the after the graded it, you know, the blacks start coming out, and then you can see those details fade a little bit away, but the colors pop and you're focusing on totally different things, right? And it gives you that filmic, I guess, is the best way to describe it, view. So yeah,
it takes a lot of work, but it's a necessary thing to kind of make things pop, and it's a good step that you should let a professional do.
Yeah, because I've tried it, and it's voodoo, man, voodoo. So yeah, this one is a back for me too, because it follows along the same lines of, so you remember Jason Howell's Evermore album? So the first project he did on Kickstarter, he had written and recorded everything, but what he wanted to do on top of that was to get a professional audio mixer to make his music sound better. So that's what I love about this one too, is like it's done, so you'll see a version of it. But depending on how much money he makes, you might even see a more awesomer version, because that's a word, right? Awesomer,
way awesomer.
So we'll just say that's a word, because you're a professor, and if you say it's okay, right?
I can make words.
Like, and before we go on, I gotta ask you: has any of your students ever put like YOLO into a written piece or anything like that, or like have you gotten any weird like abbreviations like that before?
I've gotten YOLO before. Yeah, it's pretty rare, but
seriously, like non-ironically, they put YOLO into it, and like it wasn't like on a script, right, for something. They really just put
YOLO. In fact, my favorite is I actually had somebody write a paper, and they had a section that they hid in there that said, I don't think you read all of these. In fact, if you read this, I'll give you $20.
Did you get $20?
I called them out. And he was like, I didn't think you'd ever get to that. No, I found it.
It's like, give me your lunch money, kid, because you're not having Starbucks for a week.
I really don't tell anybody, but I don't really read all of them that much. I just glanced across that, and the $20 stood out, and I was like, what's this? Oh.
You're like, I like money. All right, so on to our last project of the night. This one, it swung the vote. I didn't think this one would win. So that's why I am glad that we have a professional that can comment on this, because I don't know a lot about this space. But before we go on to that, I'll let you know the other one that didn't make it, that got voted on, was the, what was it called? The Taste Tarot, which is, it was kind of like a spice dispensing system. It was kind of like a Keurig for spices. So if you wanted like a lemon ginger mix, you could hit it, and then it would give you lemon zest and ginger all in one that you could just spice up and all that stuff.
That seems a little weird. You're going to mix spices, you mix them like on the thing you're mixing.
It sounds cooler than what I'm giving for it. But yeah, so that was the other one. So this one, though, if you guys don't know, Drew is a world-renowned yo-yoist. I'm kind of sad I didn't go find the old video of your yo-yo, your yo-yo demo reel, because that was amazing. I remember seeing it. Somebody had posted it on your Facebook page, and it was like 2 a.m. too, because I couldn't sleep. And then I hit this, and I see young Drew at the university where he's teaching now, making a yo-yo video, and it was amazing. So our last project tonight is called The Nucleo, and it is the world's first asymmetric yo-yo. So normally you have your yo-yo where the string goes in right through the middle, right? This one, the string is like shifted to one side. Like, so explain to me, Drew, like, what kind of problems does this cause if your yo-yo isn't balanced? Like,
I was going to say, like, the everything you try to avoid, for the most part, as I know, is try not to wobble. And this looks like it would do nothing but wobble.
So what they did was, the secret behind this is actually, so they hand make all of these to make sure it's balanced, because they know it's important to have a balanced yo-yo. And instead of like the disc, you know, like ice cream shape of the yo-yo, this is a ball, and it has a cut through it. Kind of looks like the top of the arcade sticks. And the way they do it is they actually have a screw inside that they shift around. So that's why these are all handmade, is somebody actually spends the time and adjusts the screw so the yo-yo is perfectly balanced, even though the string is shifted to one side. And that's how they make this yo-yo. And their whole goal with this is to make a really good-looking yo-yo, and I think this is a really good-looking one.
Cool.
To the point where the colors, if you look at the Kickstarter page, they actually have the solar system in nucleos, which is cool. So you got your Mercury, Venus, and then Earth. It's mostly blue, but on the little side of the yo-yo, it's green instead, which is kind of cool. And it has all the colors. I'm sad they did not include Pluto on there. It's still a planet to me, man!
It is still one to me, too. And that's why they didn't put, like, well, I guess you can kind of pretend they're rings, but giving, who has rings? Saturn? Uranus? I don't know.
My anus does not have any rings.
No, but there's a ring because it's black. This is a really cool... Do they have any gifts or anything of it actually yo-yoing?
They have a 3D model, and I don't think they do.
See it spin. I want you to spin it and do a trick or do something. Or
I know, and this is why, like, I really wish they had a video. But it won a project design, so it apparently works. But it looks really nice, and I don't know. What do you think about this, Drew? As somebody who is expert in the yo, does this sound like something you would want to?
It's a bold try? Move. I feel like I'd like to try it. I'd certainly like to try it, I think, but I'm. Wow.
Yeah,
I'd like to really see what it can do.
They won the 2017 German Design Award for it, which is nuts, right? It's like a yo-yo shifted for it. But like, yeah, I just part of me thinks this would look so cool if I mean, how many yo-yos have you like done at a time?
Well, I one, I don't do very many at a time, but just some last semester, I actually found that there was an unresponsive yo-yo. They didn't have those when I was a kid, but an unresponsive yo-yo doesn't, like, when you throw it down, you usually just give it a yank and it pops back up, right? The string catches the spinny axle that's, you know, supposed to be walking the dog, and you yank on it and it catches and comes back up to you. The non-responsive is built so that it never comes back up unless you catch it on its own string and then tie like some sort of weird knot and hold on to it and do the certain shimmy. If you do a certain shimmy with like three loops of string, then it'll catch and go back up. But it won't do a normal. Anyway, I got schooled. I had some kids showing me like all kinds of things that I was like, well,
oh, how does this work? I bet you get 10 minutes. I bet you've got 10 minutes with that yo-yo. You'd be like a pro with it. And you're like, check this out, youngin.
You have too much faith in me.
I think you're yo-yo king. Like, so what was the most money you spent on one of the trick yo-yos?
Well, I think $40 back in my day was like a big tricked out yo-yo that was like, okay, it's got all the, you know, bearings and it does everything. But this, again, this kid that was showing me the unresponsive style, I think his each cost him $75 a piece.
Like, all right, so
I've never spent that.
So this makes me feel better because I'm looking at their pledge levels. Their early bird is $67. And then the normal pledge is about 76. So that makes me feel a lot better because I'm like, I don't know how much yo-yos cost. I only had the cheap ones, you know, like the $5, $10 ones that you could get.
You get five in a pack for your like for your party favors. No, that's a legitimate price. $75 is about right. And the fact that they're handcrafted and nobody else would have anything like it, that's legit. That's worth it.
Yeah, and it's made in Germany. And if you have met any Germans, they are damn proud about everything that is made in Germany.
They will let you
like,
know.
It is German. It's almost as much as the CrossFit people. Like, but they are proud of German engineering and German production. So you better believe they are not cutting corners to make this yo-yo. So this is a back for me because I think it like if I'm not a good yo-yoer. I don't know the arts that well. I can make it go up and down occasionally, and usually it gets tangled. But this looks so cool, right? It's a sphere. And then the strings on one side too, so it just like it looks so cool that I just like I'll give them the money 100% for the design aesthetic.
I have worries that they don't have any video of it actually doing what they say it'll do. Like they've got some cool things that are animated to show. Like look, it's balanced. I want somebody to throw a trick.
Yeah, but like you wouldn't get into the design award, right? If it doesn't work, I don't know.
Maybe they would. I just feel like that's a missing piece. I just feel like, you're not going to sell me a $75 yo-yo that doesn't yo. I won't do it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to track this thing and hope they update with actual footage.
Yep.
Final answer.
All right. And then so before we go on to our sack of the week, Rev wants to remind you that don't panic, but there is a mouse over your shoulder. So now it is time for the sack of the week. And this one, this one's a tough one. It is World of Warcraft WoW PvP montage videos. I would like to start making edited videos of my girlfriend and me doing PvP in the current expansion, World of Warcraft Legion. I think there's a new expansion coming out soon, buddy.
I think this is a euphemism. I think him and the girlfriend doing PvP, what he wants to make is something that he's trying to slip by.
I would think that too, but if you hit play, there's actual PvP Warcraft.
Oh, that PvP.
Player versus player.
OPP. Okay, so this is what he's asking. He wants to make videos.
Yeah. So I'll break it down. So if you guys don't know, this is what World of Warcraft looks like. I think there's a way to turn off most of these overlays so it would look a little more aesthetically pleasing than having all this text and buttons everywhere. So under about, my girlfriend and I have no experience in editing videos and creating content, but we would love to enter the YouTube video world. I have been saving videos of myself in random PvP scenarios, random battlegrounds, rated battlegrounds, skirmishes, 2v2, 3v3, however, with no idea how to edit these videos. We have been unable to produce any content. We would use this money to purchase editing software, music for the videos, intro animations, and even basic food and drink for while we are editing our videos. Guys, if you're going to give this guy's money, just might as well back our show, because Drew and I will at least get together and eat tacos. I will make that a new pledge. If we can get 25 subscribers to the Twitch channel, Drew and I will stream us eating tacos.
Yes, we'll figure it out. Yeah. We'll set our own tiers. We'll have our own little...
We'll eat tacos. And then the video is an example of the type of PvP videos we make. The beginning of part of a duel between me and my girlfriend. It was just for fun to see how long we could both last against each other as... her playing a tank and me playing a fire mage. At around 4:15, there's a pretty funny clip of me desperately trying to play the song by the YouTuber named Nim Mage while I kill a boomkin. Enjoy.
Don't play for me, but I want to watch it.
So here's one thing. So how much money do you think this guy's trying to raise without looking at the project, Drew?
I'm gonna say if you add up like I want video editing software and even some animations and music, he's probably looking at about $400, $500, especially if he wants some food and drink in there.
Yeah, he's looking for $20.
Somebody... that editing software.
Yeah, exactly right. You and I are like, where in the world are you going to find editing software that's going to cost you $5? Like, I know there's free editing software out there, so sure. But still, you and I have experience in editing. $20 is not anywhere remotely close to being able to do anything other than buying them 20 tacos on Taco Tuesday.
And maybe that's what they ought to be doing.
And it might not cover tax.
That's true too.
I love the risks and challenges. Some challenges for our project include learning how to edit videos in a visually appealing manner, learning copyright rules for videos for YouTube, balancing the responsibilities of being in a military academy and the responsibilities to our backer to produce content.
It's just unbelievable to me. Like, this is great. Refresh it.
Did you just back it? Did it refresh?
Boom, they hit their goal. They're gonna eat candy and they're gonna play PvP. Wow. I'm so proud of these guys. They just hit the goal live on the KickCast.
I swear you just do this. You purposely do this to me.
Look at the sack of the... This is a fantastically now funded project.
This is totally a meta game that you do. It's like, is he going to find a cheap enough project where I'm just going to totally outshine
it? I'm excited for these guys. These are my people. Like, these are the students that show up in my classes. They have these dreams. I can make all your dreams come true, and I just did. $20. Go get some software. In fact, you know what?
I want to know what software he's going to use that he can find for $20.
I'm going to send him a message, and I'm going to say, here's the software that's free that you're going to use, and here's my YouTube videos on how to get started on editing, and here's the story to get, like, yep. I'm going to mentor the PvP team. They're going to get this done.
Oh, my gosh. And then next thing you know, Drew's going to be like, yeah, I got a level 120 dark knight elf on Valoran. And, you know, I was running a 20-man the other day, but we only had 10, and we called it good. What software are you even going to send him?
There's some free software out there. I'm trying to remember the name of them, but I'll find it. Is it called Hit?
Well, Blackmagic does one.
There's some out there.
What's Blackmagic's color grading software?
The DaVinci Resolve
stuff? Yeah, DaVinci Resolve. There's a free version of DaVinci Resolve that can do editing on there. So he doesn't, and then he'll learn how to color grade too. I swear, you do this. Next time I'm going to go find a project that's like $1 million minimum. And I'm calling you.
Drew. It's all on the table. Back it or not. I was really sad this week. I got an email from one of the ones I backed. Remember, I think we might have talked about it on the show. It was called Goldwater. And it was like 24K.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. That was another one of those where I'm like, who in the world's going to back this? And you ended up buying two of them.
And then it never reached its goal. So I got the email that it got pulled or, you know, unfunded or something. So, you know, I'm never going to get my gold one.
I swear, if I ever go through your profile and see the unbacked ones, I'm like, that was a sack of the week. That was a sack of the week. That was a sack of the week. That was definitely a sack of the week.
I have some good times.
Oh, yeah. So, unfortunately, guys, the end of the good times this time around. This is the end of the show. If you guys want to help JD Worcester out, look for World of Warcraft WoW PvP montage videos. Maybe we can get him above the $20 and he'll be elated, and I'm going to have to stick my foot in my mouth when he creates the next Leroy Jenkins. And I'm like, ah.
Maybe.
But if you guys have suggestions for Sacks of the Week's projects, or if you want to just be mentioned on a kick shout, or if you just want to get mentioned on the show, period, shoot us an email, kickcast@ktdata.net, or leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kickcast. You can also tweet at kickcast or at night20 or at ktdata, and you'll reach us there too. Check out kickcast.net for our past episodes and show notes. So if you want to get those Entrepreneur and Forbes articles, we'll have that linked there and a place
to gold.
Yeah, they're amazing. Or if you want to see our previous 133 episodes, they'll be there too. Drew, you got anything to plug before we go?
If you're bored and you're coming up into the North Utah area in mid-June, I'm about to start work on projection mapping and the video production design for Tommy, the Who's rock opera. So that'll Ooh. Be playing at the Ziegfeld Theater mid-June. And I have convinced my students this summer that that is our project for the next 6 weeks, is to do the projection mapping and the video work for the kind of stage design for that show. So I'm pretty stoked about
that. Ooh, fancy. I thought you were going to convince them that their summer project should be documenting a YouTube series on how to lay out sheetrock in a basement.
Right? Let's go. How to finish a house. Yeah, is that or a cooking? There's a good chance that I'll start up a cooking show because I have a beautiful kitchen. I'm excited.
Oh, so awesome. Yeah, I'm excited. I want,
it's coming.
When you do that, I want to go up. I want to help set up a cooking kitchen setup.
Yes.
I think it'd be fun.
And I have my new Sling Studio, so we can do it real easy.
Oh, that's so fancy. All right, so make sure you guys keep following Drew for that. Our next episode is going to be, what is this, May 22nd? I believe, possibly, I think so. Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm just thinking, like, am I out of town? Nope, I'm not out of town. We'll finally have two episodes in a month, guys. It's going to be amazing. So make sure you guys show up. Make sure you guys show up in the chat too. It's a good time in the chat. Again, big thanks to what was his name?
J.D. Worcester. He's going to have himself a YouTube channel.
Yeah. Big shout out to Mingle Dude. He actually actually subscribed to the channel and he said, for more tacos, I hope. So hopefully we'll have a taco budget soon. Guys.
Coming.
And then, yep. And thank you guys. And we will see you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Taco Fund.